Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
And I'm coming and I'm going to represent Christ to you. You need peace with God. You need to be reconciled to God, no longer enemies.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Christian, why are you doing what you're doing? Is it important to know why you are doing things? Because I find there are some people that end up doing what they're doing as a Christian for woefully wrong reasons. And they're not good motivations. Sometimes they're detrimental motivations. And Paul says, this is what my motivations were. And I would suggest to you and I today that if we have the same kind of motivations Paul had, it would put us in a place that we would have maximized our stewardship for him. Notice, if you would, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them and look at, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where in verse 9, he said, wherefore, Paul said, we labor. He wanted to strive for what is excellent. He had this work as a steward, and he says, first of all, this was a major motivation of Paul, should be for us today. First of all, he says, it's a motivation to be accepted of God. What does that mean, to be accepted of God? It's the same family terms for being well-pleasing to God. Or you could put it this way, the approval of God. Or if you want to put off in your notes another way to say this, you're looking for the smile of God. And Paul said, I'm laboring, I'm working on this earth for that time because there's a concern to please Christ. But he not only says that, number two is, he moves on in the thought processes. And again, I'm not going to take this line by line in this text, but notice verse 9 says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Heaven was, listen, not just a destination, some place as a Christian he was getting to. It was a motivation, because heaven's going to be a wonderful place. It was heaven. So Paul says, listen, heaven to me is, I wanted to see the smile of God. It is a place. But in addition to that, Paul said in verse 10, a second motivation is the hope of reward. He said it this way, we all labor that for we must all, as Christians, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, talking Christians here, may receive, underline the word receive. Because you have to understand, this is the Christian's privilege. It's not dread. This area that Paul says, listen, it's not just the smile of God, but along with that, he was well aware there's a hope of reward here. He's going to receive a reward. This point right here, unfortunately, gets misunderstood. And there are more Christians that are driven by guilt and shame than they're driven by love and approval. I would suggest to you that Paul's whole context in 2 Corinthians 5, he's just stating the facts. There's going to be some that are going to regret. Their things are not going to be necessarily taken away as much as opportunities to reveal that they've missed opportunities. They've missed opportunities. They had opportunities to do things on this earth. They were prompted by the Spirit of God to give. They were prompted to help that person. They were prompted to take that family and help them along because they didn't have the wherewithal. And they decided, I'm too busy. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I've got too many things of my own. I've got my own agenda. I got to keep forward on all these financial goals I've got. And they didn't do those things. And someday when they stand before God, there's going to be a day of regrets because they're going to realize, you know what? I had opportunities and I didn't do it. Because ultimately, when we stand before God, everything that is right is going to pay off enormously, and everything that is wrong and missed opportunity is going to be seen so incredibly stupid. What was I thinking? That's why Paul, who had been to heaven and back, saying, listen, I'm going to tell you what motivates me. What motivates me is the approval of God, the smile of God. And what motivates me is not this dread, but this privilege. We get to stand before God. It's the bema seat. It's this 6 foot high judgment seat. Primarily not judicial, but for recognition of those athletes. This is not about whether you're in the family of God or not, or on the team athletically. These were athletes that would show up, and city officials would recognize these folks with laurel wreaths. But I cannot do enough to help motivate you to realize, listen, my friend, you are living in a world in which it's not going to last. And when you do things for eternity, as Paul did, he said, listen, I'm happy with that. It's not just scriptural, it's smart, because he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you can understand that, then in closing, let me quickly mention to you the other motivation that Paul jumps to in verse 11. And we don't have time to go through the whole text. Back to 2 Corinthians, we'll finish with this right here. Notice, if you would, in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 11, Paul said, not only is the smile of God, or the approval of God, and the hope of reward motivations, but in addition to that, there is the awe of the Lord. He says it this way, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. This is not talking about a horror and a scared feeling and a frightened look, but an awe, a reverence, a great awareness of his presence. Because of that great presence of who God is, that motivates me to persuade men, to convince people about the truth. This is right. That persuasion that Paul was saying, by the way, is not just verbally, but he was clarifying the truth about his own authority. That, listen, I'm trying to persuade you, and you've got to understand that I'm not trying to force you, but I'm helping you realize the awe of the Lord. That someday you will stand before God, but more importantly, I'm trying to motivate you. It's worth it to do this for God. There's an awareness of the accountability before Christ, and that's why I'm persuading men. He's not talking just about pastors here. He's talking about you, that you have opportunities. I'm going to draw, can I convince you? I realize it's only by the conviction of the Spirit of God that a person gets saved, but he's saying you can convince as much as possible. This is true. I've had a guy say to me on occasion here, listen, I don't really believe what you're saying, but I know you believe it. You're right, because it's worth it. Are you living for another world? And if you're motivated that way, then you're going to make decisions this way because you're his steward. You're going to think like, you're going to act like, you're going to give like God. And it's not just this scared, cowering in a corner, oh God, please don't, the fire of God on me. It's more of, oh my word, he bought me off the slave market. He's given me all these things. It's the least I could do for him. Why not? I'm thankful when I was 20 years old on a back park bench in Buchanan, Michigan, hearing a guy that was so loud and yelling his preaching. I thought, what did he get so mad about? But he was convinced, listen, are you living for eternity? Man, I walked out the back. He invited, some people came down front. I walked back, went to that back park bench, and the best I knew, I said, God, all I know is I'm tired of working my own life. This is my life. Whatever you want to do with it, you do with it. Things changed. It's worth every minute since that point 30 plus years ago, my friend. And I'm saying to you, that terror of God is one that would motivate you. That awe, my word, you're a creator. You give me this little bit, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to convince people. While Paul went on in this thought process, let me move to the last particular motivation as we close, because it wasn't just the smile of God and the hope of reward and the awe of the Lord. But in addition to that, he moves to verse 14, and between 11 and 14, Paul does walk through the rationale that he's saying. And listen, he was saying, we're not trying to pat ourselves on the back. Verse 12, we're not trying to give you anything other than a reason to be proud of us and answer to those who bragging about big ministries. And he's saying, verse 14, listen, the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ, the love of God compels us. It controls us. And Paul is saying, do you know that love that God has given to me, it wasn't Paul's love for Christ, but it was Christ's love for Paul that motivated him It constrained him. It compelled him. It controlled him to do the things that he was doing so that someday, standing before his Lord, he would have so much gratitude. That's why he was doing that, because Christ died for him, as he finishes in verse 15. He knew, Christ, you died for us, that all were dead in the trespasses and sins, but that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Don't live for yourselves. Live unto him. He died for you. He rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. It's not just that Christ was human and he lived in the flesh, but that he's the Son of God. We've known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. He's the Christ. When he went on to finish that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're a new creature because you've been reconciled to God. Which ultimately, he says in verse 20, now then, for we're ambassadors for Christ. And all of those understood as soon as he said ambassadors for Christ, and he knew he was making reference to Roman providences. And all of those folks in that day knew that ambassadors were Rome's ambassadors. And there were two kind. There were the senatorial providences that had peace, and they were under submission to the Roman Empire. And then there were the rogue providences, those places and those lands that were not submitting to the Roman government, and they didn't want Rome, and they were barbaric, and they were fighting off what Rome wanted. And Paul says, listen, you're ambassadors for Christ. You are those peace ambassadors going to those barbaric providences and saying, listen, I'm representing authority. And Paul says, he kind of sanitizes, says, listen, you're not talking about Rome here. You're talking about representing the owner of the world, God. And I'm coming and I'm going to represent Christ to you. You need peace with God. You need to be reconciled to God. No longer enemies, but friends. And I would say to you, my friend, that is why you, Christian, first of all, have been reconciled to God. And Paul's saying to those people at Corinth, listen, aren't you motivated? You're motivated by the smile of God and the hope of reward. You're motivated by the very awe of God and the love of God. And it's a great opportunity to understand this is not a matter of mixed motives, but multiple motives woven together. Because, my friend, as soon as this world has been used by God in his providential purposes to glorify himself, this world is over. And whether you have, as I mentioned last week, 8 minutes or 80 years, we all stand before him. What motivates you? But I'm telling you, it is worth it as God's personal steward, manager of what you have, that God, through the pen of Paul, is saying to you, be motivated. This judgment seat does not have to be dread. You probably too many times had to go face your daddy and get spanked enough times where you're convinced someday you're going to stand before God. You don't have to be spanked. The child of God, he says, I'm going to offer you. You're receiving rewards. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.